Everyone carries a burden, but God intends for it to lead you to unspeakable joy. The question is, how do you embrace something that feels impossible to endure? Today, Jill turns to the book of Habakkuk for the answer. But first, how can you navigate all of the shifting beliefs in today's culture? If we're honest, it's easy to get confused and even abandon what we know is true simply for what is new. That's why we want to send you Stewart's six-message series, Six Things We Must Never Forget, to help remind you of time-tested truths from God's Word so you can stand firm in your beliefs. It's our way to thank you for your support to keep this broadcast going strong, but this offer expires today. So call now to give and request your copy. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill with her message, Living 1 Mile High.
God said to Habakkuk, in my inscrutable plan, in my sovereign plan, I am going to use Babylon in the strangest way to bring my people back and have a remnant left to work with for the future. But I will punish Babylon. Now, Habakkuk, not in your day, for this revelation belongs to the end. We don't know which end. It's a prophecy. Certainly, God did punish Babylon in biblical history. But certainly, it's a bigger picture, perhaps, of spiritual Babylon. And just before Jesus comes back, God will punish Babylon for what Babylon has done to the Church of Christ. We don't know. But we do know this, that it is not ours to judge or question the purposes of God and how he gets where he is going. And so Habakkuk is torn to shreds. What do you mean? They're going to wipe us off the map. How can I tell? The remnant, this, how can I do this? And God leans out of heaven, and in chapter 3, he just shows himself. It's a transfiguration. He has a theophany. A theophany, in terms theological, is a self-revelation of God. He just says, look at me. It's the same in Job. Job is struggling with good and evil. And why do bad things happen to good people? And why do good people do bad things? All of that stuff. Like Asaph is in Psalm 73. I didn't understand when I saw the wicked overcoming good until I went into the temple of God and you showed me not the answer. You showed me you. And what we need to do when we're confused, what we need to do when we stand in countries where the most terrible, terrible things are happening to the people of God, and it seems to be that the devil is running all over the world and having his own way, is stand on our high tower and ask our questions. And hear perhaps God say, yeah, don't worry about it. One day, they'll be punished for what they're doing to my people. But in this part of history, I'm working my purposes out even in Babylon and with Babylon. It's hard to get your heart round. It's hard to get your mind round, but it needs to be done. And so in chapter 3, Habakkuk sees God. And you know, when you're confused and you wonder, why is evil in my family? Why is evil in my life? When I sit so many times and hear stories that just break your heart, and I think, how is it that the devil's winning this or has won this? How could you let this happen, God? This is a wonderful, wonderful place to go. And I can always encourage people or take them with me to stand on our high tower and ask the message to tell us. Just give us theology to hold on to. What do we do if we are called to be a Habakkuk and live in a very dark place until the earth is filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea? That's a verse from here. How are we going to do it? And the secret and the key verse, of course, of Habakkuk is in chapter 2, the just shall live by faith. We read that in Romans. It is a reference to Habakkuk chapter 2, the just. What are you going to do? How are you going to do this? You're going to live by faith. You're going to trust. You're going to lean, Habakkuk. As I so often say, lean, folks. You won't fall over. How are you going to survive? If God has given you the calling and the burden to live through a very dark time in your personal life, in your church life, in your country's life, in your world, how are you going to do it? You're going to live by faith. You're going to learn trust. You're going to learn faith. You're going to say, you are God. I can trust you. It looks so confusing. I don't have answers. I don't have answers for the people that say, okay, where's your God? What's he doing? I watched on the TV as this hurricane hit, and the very harsh questioning I felt some of God's people were given. They were given a chance, and I was on my knees in front of the TV. I didn't care who was up there. I didn't care what denomination they came from. I didn't care what their reputation was. They had been asked to answer for God. And some of those reporters, one of them particularly, I didn't like his way and I didn't like his manner at all. And I got on my knees and I prayed for the man that had to answer those questions. And the reporter said to him, so what are you going to say to your people in church, Pastor, this Sunday? What are you going to tell them about God? It was his storm. He just wiped out 1,000 people, you know, and drowned them in their beds in this nursing home. So what are you going to say about God? And I believe God gave wisdom beyond every single person that was asked that question. Franklin Graham was asked it. Anne Graham Lotz was asked it on television, on national television, and many other pastors. Pastors that perhaps we would take issue with theologically, but I tell you, they gave great answers. Great answers. And basically, they did point out, well, people are saying it was the sin that was going on there, but there were also over 100 churches wiped out, and God's people, along with the people we might think were sinful or doing wrong things. So what do you think about that, Mr. Reporter? And I saw one reporter really caught up in this as he began to think, and he said back to the pastor, yeah, so both the good and the bad got killed, right? Right. What are you going to say about that, Pastor? And he got his attention and began to walk him through some of the huge unanswerable questions. Why does God allow suffering? But was able to say, as Habakkuk was able to say, listen, whatever the why is, let me tell you how you and I are going to survive this. We're going to live by faith. We're going to trust that God, who's a good God, will do the right thing in the end. And one day he'll sit us down and say, let me explain this to you. Our little dust minds are so tiny. There's no way we can put our minds around this thing. And he comes into chapter 3 and he says, after seeing God in his mightiness, and you can read that theophany and how God appeared to him in his vision or dream, or in reality, we don't know what it's like to have God show us little human beings himself in all his raw spiritness. How can we know this? He does his best with the language here. And he says, when I saw this, I heard, my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, 16 of 3. Decay crept into my bones, my legs trembled. Yes, I will patiently wait for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though, so what am I going to do? I'm going to live by faith. What does that mean? Okay, though the fig tree does not bud. A fig tree takes about 100 years to get figs. It means it's been there a long time. It means you've lived in the country forever. It means you're safe. It means you're prosperous. And under the fig tree is the family, every man under his vine and fig tree. And it is a picture of prosperity and safety and security and blessing. Though the fig tree doesn't bud, though I lose my home in flood or war or whatever, though I'm burnt at the stake, though my family isn't prosperous, though I lose my job, yet will I rejoice. How am I going to do that? I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to stand on my high tower. I'm going to ask the questions I need to and accept the answers that I get. I'm going to build a high tower in my life. I'm going to build faith into my life. Though the fig tree does not bud, security. Could you say before you go out, though I don't know what security is, though I have no idea what's facing me, money-wise, security-wise, yet will I rejoice because I'm going to trust, I'm going to lean on God.
You're listening to Jill Briscoe on Telling the Truth. She'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, how can you know if a new idea you encounter is in line with God's truth? Or if it's just a shiny new idea from our culture that's actually wrong? There's really only one way, and that's to be firmly grounded in the time-tested truth of God's Word. We want to help you remember the deep spiritual truths that are foundational to the faith of every believer by sending you Stuart Briscoe series, Six Things We Must Never Forget. In this six-message series, Stuart examines the book of 2 Peter to outline six important truths that will help you stand firm in your beliefs and navigate your way through today's culture. Because when beliefs about what's true shift daily, you need a defense against the world's confusion. And for today only, Six Things We Must Never Forget is our way to say thanks for your gift to help keep Telling the Truth going strong on air and online. So be sure to request your copy before time runs out on this offer today. Call and give to help more people experience life in Christ. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection. But we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Telling the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can also give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app. Now, here's Jill with more of today's message, Living One Mile High.
Though no grapes on the vine. The vine, I love this. You know, there's a verse in the scripture that says, thy wife shall be like a fruitful vine by the side of thy house, and thy children like olive plants around thy table. Marvelous picture. Doesn't mean the wife is climbing the walls. The wife shall be like a fruitful vine. It's the same picture of happiness, of joy in your relationships, and the little olive plants sitting having their cornflakes around the table. Wonderful picture. And he says, and though the olive plants fail, happens if your kids fail, happens if they go with the peers, they get into drugs, and a policeman comes to your door at 11 at night, says your kids just killed somebody, is drunk driving. What are you going to do? Though the olive plant fails, yet will not I. And you have to come, if you are a parent, to the point of saying, they might not go on with you. They might not love you. They might fail. The olive crop might fail. But I'm not going to. And I'm not going to let them take me down with them. That was one of the hardest places of my life. My kids were in their teenage years. Just ordinary teenage problems. Normal teenage problems. And I became panic-stricken with fear that they would not love Jesus and follow him. I just became obsessed with it. And I remember kneeling at my bed and saying, okay, I've got it. Though the olive crop might fail, I won't. I'll love you. I'll serve you. Though my heart is broken, though my dreams have gone, I'll do it. I'll rejoice in you. I'll trust. I'll lean. I'll live by faith. If they live by faith or they don't live by faith, I will. And you have to let that go. You have to come to that point. Doesn't mean you don't put your heart and soul and energy and your life into your kids and seeing them love Jesus. Of course not. But what if they fail? What's that going to do to you? You're going to drop out of serving? Are you going to say, I just need a year out to regroup? How can I serve God when my kids have failed? What's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with your relationship with God? What's that got to do with your calling and your burden? Yet, well, not I, he says. Count on me? That's living 1 mile high. Though the olive crop fails, or the wife, or the security, or the husband, yet will not I. No sheep in the fold. You're going back to your ministry. And since you've been here in one weekend, everybody's left your Bible study. How could this happen? I was only away 3 days. So what are you going to do if you fail with all your wonderful heart plans you've collected here? What are you going to do? Are you going to just sit down and die? Are you going to quit? Are you going to listen to the coach? No sheep in the fold. No donkey in the stall. I love this little picture. You could come to the temple and give sacrifices, and they would kill them and give you back something to eat and all of that. But there was one sacrifice that was accepted because it was needed, and it was called a living sacrifice, and it was a donkey. Donkeys were given huge expense to a family. If you gave a donkey, it's like giving a, you know, Rolls Royce. It's all sorts of things. It was their transport. It was the thing that hauled stuff around the fields. They gave their living sacrifice, the donkey, to the temple. And it bore the burdens in the temple. It did the donkey work. Okay, let's supply it. You feel as though you're on your own. I have nobody to help me. Poor little me. Can't get volunteers. I'm always finished. Everybody's gone. They have to go home and look after their kids. I've got kids. Nobody thinks of that. And there's nobody doing the donkey work. You're doing it all. You're doing all the other stuff and the donkey work. Okay, listen to me. Though there is no donkey in the stall, I'll do it. So what? I'll stay till midnight. I'll put in the extra hours. Even when nobody's looking to watch. Except God. No donkey in the stall. Yet will I rejoice. I'll do it with joy. It's not about the success of my event. I'll get on with it. How do I live 1 mile high? You turn your eyes to the hills. You stay on your high tower, listening to the messages from the scriptures, from God, that he will send you. You take time. You invest your life. You go to the deep place. You do not need a mentor. Jesus is your mentor. God is your mentor. Now, you might need somebody to mentor you into how that works. And then they're done. And then you go and mentor someone else into how they can go to their high tower, how they can hear God's voice in the deep place where nobody goes and sit on the steps and talk to God. You see, that's what mentoring's supposed to be. But God is our mentor. How do we help? How do we bring them into the fullness of that? That's our job. That's our burden. That's what we're called to do. I live 1 mile high, and somehow I explain how that happens to somebody watching me live 1 mile high. That's how it happens, and that's how it works. We turn our eyes to the hills of faith. We ask God for the feet of a deer, fleet feet. And then we pick our way on the heights. I have seen in Austria, I have seen in the Himalayas, I have seen in Tibet, mountain goats in the most incredible places on the highest peaks in the world. And somebody will say, take these glasses, look at those goats. And it is an incredible miracle of God how they leap from one place to another. Sure-footed. God did that for those goats. And God says, I will give you the feet of a deer to pick your way on the impossible peaks. And you will find that the low places of your life turn into the high places of your experience of God. God will give you hinds feet in high places. Yes, he will. And he'll help you walk surely. You won't slip. You won't fall. And you'll live 1 mile high. For the sovereign Lord is my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God says, my grace is sufficient for thee, etc., etc. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, fleet feet, grace, alacrity, swift, sure-footedness. He'll set you on your high places, which will be the low places of life, strangely.
You're listening to Telling the Truth. That's Jill Briscoe, and she's coming back to conclude today's message. But first, remember that today is the last day of a special offer to receive Stuart Briscoe's series, Six Things We Must Never Forget, as thanks for your gift to help keep telling the truth going strong. This six-message series from 2 Peter highlights six vital truths foundational to the faith of every believer, all to help you stay rooted in the time-tested truths of God's Word. Generous friends like you keep these biblical teachings and resources on the air and online. So if you've never had the chance to give before, please give today. And remember to request your copy of Six Things We Must Never Forget before this offer ends today when you call and give. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill with the conclusion of today's message.
I don't think I've ever felt closer to God than in a low place. And he's lifted me 1 mile high and inside in my spirit. And as I've done my part, as I've waited for the messenger to explain what I need to know, and then I've accepted that, even if it's bad news. I remember once standing on that high tower waiting for God to give me the message, and when it came, it was as bad as the Babylonians are coming. And I needed to accept it and say, okay, thank you for telling me what's ahead. It's all bad, but thank you for telling me. This isn't going to get better. This isn't going to change. This is where I will probably live for the rest of my days. Now then, how do I do it? You live by faith. You stand on your tower. You listen to the messenger. That's how you do it. And you lean on me and you trust me. And God says, I will show you myself. And that will be enough. Day after day, God will show you himself. What more do you want? What more do you need? Nothing. He'll make your feet like the feet of a deer. Early in the morning, as day was dawning, I read in Habakkuk. I was glad to arrive at the end of the book. It was so sad. And it talked of pain and sorrow, tears and war. But there in the end of the prophecy, I found a song of joy crowning the prophet's psalm of sorrow. And seeing it was early, I went to the deep place. And I waited in the mellow mists of morning to talk to him about it. Habakkuk was my friend, he said quietly, and I thought I knew why. I think Habakkuk pictured you as the hind of the morning, I commented. That's a lovely picture of you, Lord. And we were quiet, thinking of how at Calvary, the lion got the hind. And I thought of how the devil ripped the hind to shreds, and I shuddered. But on Easter morning, I got the lion, he said. And then we laughed. And time stood still, and all the trees of the field clapped their hands. Oh, dear one, more precious to me than any other, help me to be like you, a hind, sure-footed on high ground, I pled. And I thought of the challenges that awaited me. Today I could lose a friend and even make an enemy for life. Today I must confront wrongdoing, be misunderstood, play peacemaker. I didn't like this part of the mountain climb. I didn't like this part of ministry. Well, remember, the low places of life are really the high places of spiritual experience, he reminded me. Well then, O heavenly hind of the morning, today, when I find myself picking my way among the rocks and crags, trying to keep my feet and not fall down, help me to keep my balance. I'll give you hind's feet in high places if you ask me to, he replied quietly. I will enable you to go on the heights. And then we were walking together in the shallow place where everyone lives, looking at the impossible crags on the mountainside. And they looked for all the world to me, like the dangerous difficulties of the day ahead of me. What a rocky road. So I asked him to help me. Go on the heights. just like he told me to. It's the best thing to do, you know.
Thanks so much, Jill. Before we close out today's broadcast, we want to remind you that today is your final opportunity to receive Stuart's six-message series, Six Things We Must Never Forget, as thanks for your support when you call and give today to help people all over the world experience life in Christ. This resource will help you test new ideas or views that you encounter against the timeless truth of Scripture. Again, this offer ends today, so please request your copy when you call 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for being here today and listening to Telling the Truth. Join us again next time as Stuart and Jill Briscoe share more powerful truth from God's Word. Experience life next time on Telling the Truth.